to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Left Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 117 of the Left Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Hope you guys enjoyed the show last week with the Orange Cone. If you haven't checked that out, obviously the race talk is dated, but Cone gave some awesome insight on what's going on in the ARCA series, which is still relevant. So go check that out if you haven't already. It's a fun show as always. And man, what a weekend this weekend. Michigan blew another lead against in-state rival MSU during the Big Ten Tournament Finals. You'll know I will get into that later when Aaron calls in for his weather report. Hope everyone had a great St. Paddy's Day. Everyone was Irish for a day on Sunday. Had a blast out and about walking between the bars downtown Berkeley. And Auto Club. There was definitely some interesting things this past weekend. Hashtag qualifying. And I will get into that here in a bit as well. Big show today. So I am going to keep the opening ramble short. Coming on here in just a couple minutes, Daytona truck winner Austin Hill will be on. And a little bit later in the show, rep from Martinsville Speedway is going to come on, which I think is awesome to start getting some tracks involved with the show. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait for today's show. Break down Auto Club from the Xfinity Series, the Cup race at Auto Club, Kyle Busch 200, social media shout outs. Like I said, Aaron will be on to talk Martinsville as always, your lucky dog lap down picks, and of course, fantasy to close it out. Things are heating up in the Lap Traffic Fantasy League. So without further ado, let's get things rolling. Let's talk some trucks. Let's get to the truck series again. Another week without trucks on the track. So I'll just run through the standings again real quick. Grant Enfinger is our current points leader. Harrison Burton in second. Austin Hill, who will be on in just a minute, is in third. Stuart Friesen in fourth. Brett Moffitt in fifth. Johnny Sauter in sixth, Matt Crafton in seventh, and Ben Rhodes wraps out the top eight in the truck series. Cannot wait for this Saturday, March 23rd, the trucks at the Paperclip. Short track for the trucks is always awesome, let alone you throw in that we're going to Martinsville. I cannot wait for trucks to be back on the track this Saturday. I am super pumped. All right, enough of that. Let's get things rolling. Let's get Austin Hill on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his first appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He is the winner of the Gander Outdoor Truck Series Next Era Energy Resources 250 from Daytona. He is the driver of the number 16 with Hattori Racing, Austin Hill. Austin, welcome to the Lap Traffic Podcast. How are you, man?
Oh, I'm doing really good. Thanks for having me on. It's always good to talk to you guys about racing.
Oh, so, man, I appreciate it, man. I get so worked up. It's so much fun talking with you guys, especially from the truck series and the Xfinity series. You can really hear your passion and excitement, when I've talked to you guys, which is so much fun. So first off, congrats on the win from Daytona. Are you still riding high on that, or like is it still on cloud nine? Like, my God, I won Daytona.
I mean, it's definitely there for sure. It's kind of died down a little bit just because, you know, we've raced at Atlanta, we've raced at Vegas now. And, you know, we've had a really good start to the season. Atlanta went really well for us. There at the end, we ended up picking or restarting on the outside. So that kind of hurt us there at the end. So seventh place wasn't bad. And then it was kind of a bummer. At Vegas, we were running so well. We were running third the first stage, and then ended up blowing a motor there, like lap 80. So, but we had speed everywhere we've been so far. So that's a really good takeaway going forward and going into Martinsville. And man, I'm just so excited about how this year has gone for the first three races, and I can't wait to get back to the racetrack.
And this is kind of a broken record for people that listen to the show regularly, but you know, a lot of my friends, they like to come over and they'll watch races with me just to kind of watch me get all into it. And I have gotten some friends that now, like, I got one buddy. If the trucks are racing Friday night, he comes over to watch it because he's now officially hooked on truck racing. And that's the series that I tell people, I know other podcast friends of mine, the same thing. If you are trying to get into the sport, you need to watch the trucks. The trucks put on, 9 times out of 10, the best product all weekend, which is one of the cool things about your series.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I love the truck races, you know, not just because I'm in them, but, man, it's just such a cool atmosphere. You know, it brings on a really good show, especially, you know, you got all these younger guys trying to make it up the rankings. So, you know, for all of us to go out there and beat and bang and just really, you know, put on a good show, I think it just shows how good truck racing is. And man, I love truck racing, like I said. And you know, it's something that even if I did move up the rankings, I definitely want to stay in the trucks and just keep running them just because of how much fun they are.
That's awesome. You mentioned at the start, you know, great start to the season. Talk about that a little bit. You know, it had to feel good. First race, new team, new owner, who came off an incredible 2018 winning the truck series with Brett Moffitt, to keep that momentum going for the team and let everyone know, like, hey, I'm here now, and I came to play.
Yeah, for sure. You know, there was a lot of doubts and everything going in to the new year. You know, there was a lot of talk from social media, just people that you know, that watch racing, and you know, a lot of people had their doubts. And I felt like, you know, especially after Daytona, we definitely quiet most of the crowd. You know, you still had a few of them that said, well, it's Daytona, and you know, it's, you're wide open, you're drafting, and it's really anybody's race. And you know, going into Atlanta to show the speed we showed and to show how good we were at Atlanta, I think that kind of put an exclamation point on
absolutely
on this program, and just, you know, to show that I belong, and that, you know, that just because Brett Moffitt went out there and won the championship last year doesn't mean that Austin Hill can't go out there and win races and compete and, you know, hopefully get down to the end of it and be racing for a championship at Homestead. But really, just everything has to go right. Everything has to go together. You know, I'm not going to say that we're going to be one of the final four going into Homestead, but I think we definitely have a good shot at it.
Well, that's awesome. Well, you know, and you know, it's funny you mentioned that in the playoffs. You know, you've got that win, you know, so odds are looking pretty good that you should at least be in the, you know, final eight that start the playoff. So how has that changed the momentum or the decision making to maybe get a little bit more aggressive out there at certain races?
Oh, it definitely changes your outlook on races going forward. You know, after you get a win and you get locked in, you can really just go have fun. You don't have to worry about points. You don't have to worry about getting all these, you know, stage points are great and they help out a lot when you get into the playoffs. But man, just to be able to go out there and we're going to be able to take risk that we probably wouldn't take if we didn't have a win under our belt
sure
already. You know, we might short pit. We might do strategy where we take no tires or two tires or, you know, and try to get track position, or, you know, if we know it's going to be a race where it's going to be on fuel mileage, we might just go for it. Even though we might be 4 or 5 laps short, we might just go for it and just see what happens. If we run out, we run out. You know, it's not going to kill us or anything. It's not going to hurt us. So, you know, I think it gives you a lot of options going forward that you can try. And that's what makes it so exciting to be able to be locked in like we are. You know, just to be able to go out there, have fun. And, you know, you're not just going for good finishes. You're just going for wins now. You know, you already got a win under your belt. You're already locked in, so you can get really aggressive at the racetrack and, you know, really make decisions that you might not have made when, if you haven't had a win under your belt and you're just trying to salvage a good finish, you might just do something crazy to try to get that win. And if it doesn't work out, that it doesn't work out. But, man, I'm just really excited going forward into the season, knowing that, that we have a win under our belt.
That's awesome. Yeah, hey, never hurts to have a cushion underneath you. So that's awesome. Let's talk about your early racing career a little bit. 2014-15 ran full-time in the K&NE series. A couple truck starts here and there before this full-time ride with the Torrey. You know, walk us through, you know, your early career a little bit.
Yeah, so I started when I was 6 years old and got started in quarter midgets just around Georgia because that's where I'm from. And, you know, I lived in Georgia 18, 19 years of my life. And then I moved up to North Carolina to keep pursuing this passion of racing. So early in my career, I was down in Georgia racing a lot, quarter midget racing. And then we moved up to the Bandolera Legend Car Series, raced those for a while. And then we got into asphalt late model racing when I was 14, 15 years old, and did that. We never ran for like a championship or anything like that. We just went to the big races and stuff like that. We just wanted to be around the most competition you could be around. Sure. And the best drivers out there. So that's kind of what we did. And then, you know, for probably 2 years, I didn't do a whole lot of racing later in my career. Like, I want to say 15, 16 years old, somewhere around there. The economy was kind of going bad. My dad's business wasn't doing too good. Our sponsorship wasn't there. So we kind of quit racing for 2 years, and I was in school, in high school, didn't really know what I was going to do, didn't think I would ever race again. And, man, when the economy started going back, coming back around, we had some good sponsorship, coming in. We just said, heck, let's go K&N racing. So that's what we did. We went K&N racing, ran 2 years full K&N. And then, you know, we decided to do the truck deal on our own and do 10 races the first year, 10 races the second year. And we realized very quickly that the truck series is definitely a lot harder to go compete and go run up front than it is in K&N.
Sure.
So that's when we got with Young's Motorsports and ran the full season last year. And just running a full season last year, I was able to go to all the racetracks and, you know, was able to meet a lot of people. And that's kind of how this deal came together. I was able to meet all the guys over at Hattori Racing. And, you know, we started talking here and there, and I went out and was able to get some good sponsorship with United Rentals and a few other guys. So, you know, that's kind of how we got the deal all put together. I don't think if I would have ran a full season last year that I'd be sitting in the predicament I am now, and I'm very grateful for that.
Well, that's awesome. That's a great story, man. Congratulations on all that. That's awesome to hear. You know, the personal struggles affect everybody, right? And you dig through, and man, that's awesome. All right, so this week, trucks finally back on the track after a couple off weeks at Martinsville. You actually debuted in the truck series at Martinsville in 2014. I believe this is the track you've got the most starts at. I think this is your eighth start at Martinsville, if I added correctly. You've had some pretty decent finishes along the way. Is it your favorite track, worst track? You know, since you've been there the most, what's your take on Martinsville?
I love Martinsville, really. You know, last year we actually had a really good truck in the spring race, the best truck I've had there yet with Young's Motorsports. And we were running sixth there at the end of the race. If it would have stayed green, I think we were going to finish about sixth, which would have been an awesome day for us and that team. And we ended up having a late race caution that kind of hurt us. We didn't pit, and the guys behind us did. So that's what was fault the race, which force. And you know, I've had my struggles there in the past. Just you know, having a soft brake pedal, losing brakes, stuff like that, whatever reason. And you know, the spring race definitely showed that. You know, I can kind of get around the place pretty decent, I feel like. And then the fall race, I felt like we had really good speed in the fall race, and we had brake issues in the fall race as well. So, you know, there's just been some bumps in the road at that track. And, you know, I'm just, I really like the track though. Man, it's such a cool racetrack. It's beating and banging. You're just up on the wheel every lap. So I think it puts on one of the best shows in the truck series.
Absolutely. Well, I can't wait to watch you this weekend. Austin, tell everyone where they can follow you at on social media.
Oh, yeah. So you can follow me on Twitter. It's @_AustinHill. You can follow me on my Facebook page. Either Austin Hill is my personal, or you can do my racing account, which is Austin Hill Racing. And then my Instagram, it's kind of a messed up one. It's @_Austin_Hill_. So a lot of underscores. I think there's 3 underscores. So
it's a common name or anything like that. No.
So you can follow me on that. We actually have a really cool deal going on tonight. NASCAR's kind of posted on their pages and stuff. We're running the iRacing tonight with it's going to be me, Christopher Bell, a lot of other big names. So, you know, definitely tune in to eNASCAR.com and check it out. It's going to be fun. I think practice starts at 8:00, and then the coverage will be around 9:00, and racing's at 9:20 tonight. So it'll definitely be cool to tune in and watch this iRacing. It's going to be pretty cool.
That's awesome, man. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, big thanks to Austin Hill, driver the number 16 with Hattori Racing, for coming on the show tonight. Austin, thanks so much. Good luck this weekend. Let's do it again.
Yeah, thank you, man. I really appreciate it. And hopefully we'll be on soon talking about another win.
Hey, you are more than welcome anytime, brother.
Yeah, sounds good, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, man. Yeah, we'll see you.
All right.
Bye. Oh, Lap Traffic. If I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. I love talking to the truck guys. You could just hear their passion, their enthusiasm. You can hear it with me, too, because I feel it, too, when I'm talking to them. It's so much fun. Can't thank Austin enough. And, hey, hopefully we'll get him back on sooner rather than later, and maybe do even an in-person one at Michigan in August. That will definitely be a lot of fun there. All right. Let's keep things rolling. Let's get over to the Xfinity race, where Kyle Busch was going for 200. He wins and dominates stage 1 and 2, but Cole Custer takes advantage and pulls out the W. The restarts all weekend were exciting. That's for sure. It fanned out on every restart that we had, both in the Xfinity and the Cup race. But that's expected at a big, wide 2-mile track like California. Reddick was even making some passes on Kyle Busch. He passed him on lap 3, but did not take Kyle Busch long before he was back to the point. 10 to go, stage 1. Kyle was out over Reddick by 2.5 seconds. Out by Cole Custer by 7.5. He was ahead of Allgaier by 10 seconds. Fifth place was 15 seconds back with 10 to go. That's kind of what we saw a little bit in the Cup race as well. And again, just as the fanning out on the restarts was expected, you kind of had to expect that type of racing at a place like Fontana. Stage 1 goes to Kyle Busch, or Auto Club, excuse me. I said it last week. Man, I just cannot. That won't sink in. It's just like Phoenix and ISM, but I digress. All right, over to the restart for Stage 2. Kyle was able to keep his lead. Reddick kept it a little bit closer in Stage 2 than he was able to in Stage 1. 10 to go, Stage 2, Reddick was only a half second back versus the 2.5 seconds that he was in stage 1. Kept it close in stage 2, which was kind of cool to see. But stage 2, much like stage 1, was caution free, and Kyle Busch cruised to the stage win. Not a whole lot of action, to be honest, the first 2 stages. Tough break for Christopher Bell, who had to pit again early. A couple unscheduled stops after the stage break there. 4 wide restart for stage 3. Busch held off a charging Reddick and Justin Allgaier. The first on-track caution came out on lap 84 when John Hunter Nemechek and Cindric got into each other, sending John Hunter around hard on the track. Everyone came down pit road except Noah Gregson, who had pitted 10 laps before stage 2 ended. He lined up P1 with Kyle Busch in second with 62 to go, and it took Kyle Busch all of a half lap to get back in the lead. But brought Cole Custer with him, and he was able to make the pass on Kyle. So Kyle had a strong car, definitely had some guys up there contending with him throughout the race. Reddick scrapes the wall a little bit, while the 22 of Cindric goes around with 40 to go. Trouble on the pit stop for the 18. Couldn't get the jack up high enough on control tire. Speeding the whole nine yards. Anything that could have gone wrong for Kyle Busch on that pit stop did. Christopher Bell won the race off pit road. Kyle Busch restarted from 14th. That restart, Custer and Bell flip-flopped the lead on the restart. The 8 of Priest goes around in 7th with 26 to go, brought out another caution. Leaders came back down pit road. Michael Annette, Noah Gregson stay out on the restart with 20 to go. Kyle Busch got his way up to 6th. Riddick had troubles and restarted 8th. Bell out to the lead on this one. Custer grabs the lead with 17 to go. Kyle got up to 2nd with 5 to go, but a few seconds back, not enough to get it done. Cole Custer picks up the win for his 3rd win and gets it done at his home track and held off Kyle Busch, who was on a mission. He wanted to have 201 this weekend, that's for damn sure. But I will say it was awesome to see an Xfinity regular capitalize. Some notables, though. Rookie Justin Haley picks up his 3rd top 10 in 5 races. Rookie Chase Briscoe picks up his 3rd top 10, in a row, and first top 5 of the season. And how about Brandon Jones picking up his 4th top 10 in 5 races, quietly picking up some top 10s there. His only stumble, Las Vegas, where he finished 28th. And how about Jeremy Clements picking up his 3rd top 15 in a row. Great job for that team. Let's hit the standings real quick. Tyler Riddick is in 1st, Cole Custer in 2nd, Christopher Bell in 3rd, Brennan Jones in 4th, Austin Cindric in 5th, Michael Annette in 6th, Allgaier in 7th, Gregson 8th, Ryan Sieg in 9th, John Hunter in 10th, Chase Briscoe 11th, and Justin Haley wraps out the top 12 in the standings. But from a seeding perspective, Bell, who's 3rd in points, is 1st with 8 playoff points. Custer is in 2nd and would be in 2nd with 6. And Michael Annette in 6th place would be 3rd with his 5 playoff points. Xfinity guys, first off weekend this weekend. Next race for the Xfinity Series is Saturday, March 30th at 1 p.m. All right, let's keep things moving right along. Let's get over to the Cup Series. Well, much like in the Cup race and the Xfinity race, Kyle Busch dominated stages 1 and 2. The difference, Kyle Busch picks up the win at Auto Club on Sunday. Kyle dominating the race, overcoming a pit road speeding penalty. Got a break with a caution, dominated the race, leading 134 of 200 laps, and finally gets to 200 wins, 53 truck wins, 94 Xfinity Series wins, 53 Cup wins. And listen, I've talked about the whole petty thing in the past, so I'm not going to beat that dead horse. And regardless of the situation, 200 wins from an individual perspective is worth celebrating. I think it's worth taking note of the incredible dominance and watching history. You know, if you can set aside personal feelings on drivers and appreciate what you're watching, it can be pretty cool. You know, it hasn't come up for conversation since Petty in terms of getting close. You know, Jeff Gordon's, 93 wins, but didn't race the Xfinity and Truck Series, so was never close to really talking about 200 with him. Same thing with Jimmy Johnson. So it's something that hasn't been done in a while, so it's cool to step back and be a part of history from that regard. You know, you look at it and stick and ball sports, you know, me as a Detroit Tiger fan, Miguel Cabrera, one of the greatest hitters of all time. Is he the greatest? You know, that's debatable when you're looking at different eras in the sport. And the same thing can be said for NASCAR. So from that regard, I think it's pretty cool. He got 200 wins where he got win number one back in 2005. I think it's pretty cool that he did it in a cup car. And keep this in mind, too. Kyle Busch is 11th already on the all-time cup win list and only one away from being tied from being in the top 10. Among active drivers, only Jimmy Johnson has more wins than him. The guy's good. He's damn good. And I'm going to leave it at that. He got 200. 201 will be here sooner rather than later. So let's move on from that now. The race, man, I hate to be cliche, but it is what it was. You know, it's restarts were fun. Leaders could keep it close for a few laps. And then it just stretched out to these massive leads between, you know, the top five, top 10. And that's nothing new with Auto Club. And it won't be anything new, in my opinion, based on what we saw at Auto Club when we go to other speedways and intermediates. You know, downforce is going to dominate, as we have seen. Five races in, obviously, Joe Gibbs, more particularly Kyle Busch, is fast. The Penske Fords are fast, top five for all three this past weekend. Stuart Haas, consistent but lacking some short run speed, it seems. HMS has improved from last year but still has some work to do. I really expected Larson and Elliott to be up there contending a little more this past weekend than what they were. Kurt Busch does what Kurt Busch does. Quietly just racking up these top 10s, and consistency is key still, I think, of the sport. So he picked up his fourth top 10 in a row. Let's talk about the elephant in the room that is or was not qualifying on Friday. You know, all I will say is this, because, man, I don't think anywhere near as many people watch practice and qualifying as they lead to believe on social media that they want to give off the impression that they do. I know for me personally, hey, you know, if I'm around the house or whatever doing putzing around and practice is on, I'll throw it on in the background. I'm not dialed in watching practice. You know, qualifying, kind of the same thing. You know, it's a Friday night normally when qualifying's going on. Normally just getting home from work, as I'm sure most of you are. You know, so it might be on in the background, so to speak. You know, so from that regard, the TV numbers for qualifying, I can't imagine they are all that strong. Obviously, it was an issue and should have been brought to light. I don't know to the extent that it was. You know, there's debate. Should we have, you know, the packed qualifying? Should we go back to full single car runs? And what about something in the middle? It will still kind of keep TV time down to maybe a 30, 45 minute thing. You probably could do it in 30 minutes. You know, you've got anywhere between one to two or three, or I'm sorry, you've got two to three rounds depending on the track that you're at. So if it's a track where you've got three rounds of qualifying, rounds one and two, do that as your packed qualifying. And then the 12 that move on, do single car runs for the 12. Forces them out onto the track. It gives everyone a little bit of both. It gives you pack qualifying to eliminate the big group. Do we need to see, you know, the 35th place car go run a qualifying lap? Probably not. So let's eliminate that a little bit with rounds one and two in pack qualifying. And then, hey, let the big dogs, final 12, let them go run single car runs. I think that would actually be pretty cool. You know, I might turn into the last 15 minutes because you can probably get through that in about 15 to 20 minutes, you know, depending on the track. You know, you've got someone getting on their warm-up lap as you got the cool-down lap finishing, so it can stay pretty flowing and consistent. So that's my rant on the whole qualifying thing from this past Friday. All right, let's hit the standings real quick. Let's see. Kyle Busch dominating. He is the points leader, both with the standings points and the playoffs points. He is having a hell of a year so far with 14 playoff points already. Joey Logano in second, Kevin Harvick in third, Denny Hamlin in fifth, Keselowski wraps out the top five, Almirola in sixth, followed by Truex, Larson, Kurt Busch, and Ryan Blaney wraps out the top 10. Stenhouse in 11th, Elliott in 12th, Jones 13th, Jimmy Johnson in 14th, Clint Bowyer 15th, and Alex Bowman wraps out the top 16 right now as they're running. Sunday, 2 p.m. from the Paperclip in Martinsville. I cannot wait for this one. First short track. Arrow ain't going to matter. Nothing's going to matter other than drivers going out on the track and racing each other hard. And speaking of Martinsville, what do you say we get Brooks Taylor on from Martinsville to talk a little bit about Martinsville Speedway? Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, the director of public relations at Martinsville Speedway, here to talk about the wonders of Martinsville, Brooks Taylor. Brooks, welcome to the Lap Traffic Podcast. Thanks for taking some time on what I know is a hectic week leading into race weekend for coming on the show.
It is a hectic week. Thanks for having me. We're excited for it. I'm being hectic playing single dad life. My wife is she's working on her master's, and she's got a final exam, and so I've got a 4-year-old in dance right now and a 2-year-old in the back of the car. And it's single dad life for the next 20 minutes or so.
Well, that's fantastic. I love that. That's funny. Brooks, tell everyone a little bit about yourself, how you got into NASCAR, the NASCAR community, and what eventually led to you working at the Paperclip.
I grew up in and around the sport. My dad helped out with a late model team, so I grew up at the racetrack every Friday and Saturday night in Richmond, and actually learned my numbers at the racetrack. So I've been around the sport my entire life, and then was in the Army for a while, went into television broadcasting.
Thank you for your service, sir.
Sure. It was the best and worst 6 years of my life all at the same time.
I could only imagine.
I started working at VCU in communications, really just missed being around the racetrack. And so I started helping out a little at Richmond, and then the opportunity came up to get a job at Martinsville. And so I've been here for about, I guess this is year number 5 for me.
That's awesome.
And I love it. It's we've got the late model race, so that's right in my wheelhouse. I've been in and around Cup racing forever, so it's everything I want, and I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
That's very cool. All right, you mentioned VCU, so I got to ask, what's it like being a part of a Cinderella basketball team in the big dance?
It's an awesome feeling. It's sort of like it's like everybody rallies around it. I can tell you, when Jeff Gordon got his last win at Martinsville, his last career win, which was also his last Martinsville win, conveniently enough, it was sort of the same feeling. It was like everybody comes together and was rooting for VCU, and with the tournament starting, you can't recreate that magic. It was a really cool feeling. It was a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Well, speaking of everyone rallying around and all that, the sheer history alone of Martinsville, I feel, kind of brings everyone together. Oldest track in NASCAR. It's one of the most exciting races, in my opinion, both the spring and the fall. I can't imagine the pride that everyone has that is a part of Martinsville. Everyone in NASCAR, it's a prideful sport, manufacturer, sponsor, all that, but I would assume that carries over to the track as well.
We take a lot of pride in what we do, and most of that pride we take in the relationships we build with fans. H. Clay Earls, when he founded the track 72 years ago now, he said, when a man plunks down his hard-earned dollar, he wants to make sure he gets more than a dollar in return. And that's something that, all the way from Clay Campbell all the way down, we all take pride in that. And giving the fans the best experience, the most authentic experience possible at an affordable price. And so when you come to Martinsville, you're going to find, it's a throwback. It's like Wrigley Field or Fenway Park or Lambeau Field, to put it in perspective with other sports. And it's sort of the way that it's always been. But we've upgraded the facility. It's got modern amenities. We have, pretty much something for everyone on race weekend. Friday is free to everybody. We've got an autograph session with all the truck drivers. I know Austin Hill, guys like that. He'll be on the show, he'll be there, and that's free. We have the Hauler Parade Friday night, Saturday. Kids 17 and under are free. That's something that you don't find in sports. That includes the Truck Race Cup qualifying. And then we have Fan Fest after that. So, excuse me, it'll be
Jimmy Johnson and Clint Boyer, Ryan Preece, Ricky Stenhouse, Bubba Wallace, Paul Menard, and that's all free to the fans. So there's just something for everybody. And then Sunday, $25 tickets for 17 and under, and that's to sit anywhere. That's not just some special section, rows 1 through 5 on the, you know, in turn 2. That's any seat.
That's awesome.
So, you know, $25, and then our tickets start at $47. We don't have a ticket above $100. So where are you? You know, you're not going to find that experience in other sports for a major league sporting event.
No, absolutely. You know, I say that all the time. Like you're not walking into an NFL stadium under those prices and getting a decent seat. So,
we've got the famous Mortonsville Speedway hot dog. That's $2. So, that's chili mustard onion slaw on a red weenie on a steamed bun. So if you find a $2 hot dog at a sporting event, let me know about it. And I promise you, it's not going to be as good as a Mortonsville dog.
And I would just like everyone to take note. It was described by someone from Martinsville as a hot dog, not a sandwich.
Yeah, it's not a sandwich.
No. So it's funny. You know, I'm 36, but I eat a hot dog like an 8-year-old. I'm not going to tell you how I eat a hot dog because I will get Twitter shamed. So we'll just leave it at that. And yes, the Martinsville hot dog, definitely something that always gets a lot of TV attention, which is cool. It's awesome to have those track staples that, you know, are a draw in and of itself. Like a hot dog is a draw for Martinsville, which is really cool.
Absolutely. You know, we've got the grandfather clock trophy, so yeah, there's something for everyone. Well, it's iconic.
You know, and that was actually my next point. You've got the most identifiable trophy in the sport, as far as I'm concerned. Do you guys have a lot around the track? Like, is there some just in everyone's office? Like, how? Because I know the owner is from Martinsville in that area, and that's how that whole thing came about. Correct?
Yeah. So. Back in 1964, Mr. Earls, when he founded the track, he wanted to give a trophy that was different, something that was true to Martinsville, and Martinsville was really big in the furniture industry, and so the Ridgway Clocks was located as the crow flies less than a mile outside of turn 2. So he went over there and got a clock to give to the winner, and Fred Lorenzen won it. And it's something we've done ever since. As far as how many are at the track, we've got one in the media center, and I think there's one in Clay's suite. So we have two on display, and then we got the trophies ready to go.
That's awesome.
And you talk about an iconic trophy. There's an article in the Martinsville Bulletin with Clip Moyer just this week, and I think it was in Sunday's paper. And Clint was asked about it. He obviously won it in the spring, and he said it's the first thing you see when you walk into his house. I asked Brad Keselowski what he thinks about it. He got one 2 years ago, and Brad said it's the only trophy I have in my house. So that ought to tell you something right there.
Right, absolutely. And
I think it's something that the wives can appreciate too. You know, it's not some piece of metal. it's something that the wives are going, you need to get one of those.
You can decorate around a Martinsville clock. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Brooks, so the spring race, I think it's everyone really excited because it's the first short track. It's still early in the season. Everyone loves the trucks at Martinsville. Everyone loves Cup. Fall race, the playoffs have definitely led to some interesting storylines. We've seen some scrapping with Denny and Chase, Kenseth Logano, Gordon Boyer, and that's just to name a few. What's it like to know the excitement that is going to get delivered at just about every single Martinsville race?
It's you're just waiting for those moments to happen, and it's like you know it's going to happen at some point, and Martinsville rarely doesn't deliver. And I don't, you know, that's been going on. If you go back to the first race in Martinsville's history, back September 7th, 1947, Red Byron won the race, right? Well, what people don't know, the race was 50 laps. Buck Baker led the first 48 laps.
Did not know that.
And Red Byron passed him with two to go. So there's been excitement and action literally since the first race in Martinsville's history.
That's awesome.
And then it goes right up through last fall with Logano and Truex. There's always, it seems like there's a moment that can't be topped, and then it gets topped. So it's really exciting to watch. And you know, we're all over the place, and we're busy on race weekend, but I think everybody on the staff finds a few moments to just enjoy what we have. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, you hear about Aero and what package NASCAR is running and this, that, and the other, and new cars and whatever. Cars, trucks, it doesn't matter. Nothing has affected the racing at Martinsville. And so that's something that's really neat. You know you're going to get a good race. You know what you're getting into when you get there.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. Brooks, where can everybody follow Martinsville at on social media?
At Martinsville Sway, SWY, on Twitter. We got a Facebook page, Martinsville Speedway, and then it's at Martinsville Speedway on Instagram. We're also pretty active on Reddit as well. In fact, I think we just did an AMA on Reddit yesterday. So it's, you know, we're out there for sure. And we're monitoring that, you know, just about 24 hours a day. So it's a great way to get in contact with us, follow the latest news and notes from Martinsville. And that's where we are.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Lab Traffic Nation, big thanks to Brooks for coming on the show tonight to hype up Martinsville this weekend. Hope you had fun. I definitely want to do this again in the fall. And everyone, Brooks is going to be on the PETM podcast tonight. So I warmed him up for you guys so he can go have some fun with Rusty and Sherwin here in a couple hours, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And one other thing, you know, weather's often a concern for Martinsville. Go check that forecast for this weekend, because it's mid-60s, sunny, and no rain all weekend. And we couldn't ask for better weather. So, you know, anybody that's on the fence, don't let that concern you. Head on over MartinsvilleSpeedway.com and purchase some tickets, and we'll be happy to have you. There's something for everyone.
Absolutely. Awesome, man. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks, man. We'll see you. Big thanks to Brooks for calling in to talk about Martinsville. That was a lot of fun. It's cool to start getting some tracks involved in the show as well. Give everyone an idea of what's going on. You know, the tracks these days are doing something for everyone outside of just racing, whether it's concerts and you name it, you can do it at the track, which is awesome. Big bang for the buck, which is a lot of fun. So I hope to get out to Martinsville next year. That's on the list. It's already kind of even being in the works a little bit. So that's my plan. Get out to the track. Like you said, it's going to be great time, great weather this weekend. And we'll get the official weather here in just a few minutes, too. But, man, get out to the track if you can. Fill those stands up and be a part of history. It's Martinsville Speedway. A lot of fun. All right, that is going to do it for the race talk. It's time for a little social media. And to kick off, before I get into the normal spiel, bonus show this Thursday. I am very excited about this. It's something that's been in the works for quite some time. And that I'm really just going to kind of tease it with that. I'm very excited. Cannot wait for Thursday. Something very unique, very different. Coming up this Thursday on a bonus show. So make sure you tune in and refresh your podcast channel feeds so that you get that. And of course, it will be dialed up on social media as well. And speaking of social media, everyone, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. And Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you download, subscribe, leave a comment, tell your friends. You can find the show wherever you listen to podcasts, because you're obviously listening to it right now. But if your friend's got a different phone or how they listen, tell them they can find it anywhere. The giveaway is getting closer and closer to being given away. Almost at 3,500 Twitter followers to give away that 124 diecast signed by Richard Childress. And speaking of followers, some new follower shout outs on Twitter. Cody at underscore the underscore weird from Indiana. Big IndyCar fan. Jennifer at cruising dreamer from Pennsylvania. Loves watching cars go fast. Who doesn't? Sonia at Sonia underscore Barras. Big fan of NASCAR and the Canadiens from London, Ontario. Michelle at Shell underscore Rainer from Las Vegas and a NASCAR enthusiast. I love that. I love that describing it that way. That's awesome. Byron at B Byron from Orlando loves hockey and NASCAR. Kevin Noose at Kevin Noose, who is a sprint car driver. Welcome to the show, guys. Hope you enjoy it. Tell your friends. Stickers and koozies, mailed some out this past week, which is awesome. If you want a lap traffic koozie, go to the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Fill out the contact page with your name and address, and I will send one out to you. All right, business is done. Don't forget about the show on Thursday. Bonus one coming up. And let's see, let's get Mr. Aaron Studwell on the line for some weather. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, back again, as he is each and every week. You can follow him on Twitter, at RaceWeather, and on the web at RaceAweather.net. Aaron Studwell, sir, good evening. How are you?
Good evening, sir. I'm doing well. And yourself?
Oh, not too bad. Recovered from the weekend and all that good stuff. So here we are yet again.
Yes, I saw. See, you were wearing your maize and blue and a sea of green.
Hell yeah. There was no way I was putting green on Sunday. No way.
So you just you'll just take all the pinchings on St. Patrick's Day to make sure you don't get confused for a state fan.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, speaking of state and Michigan, man, Big Ten tournament this weekend. Michigan dropped its third in a row to the Spartans. Had leads in each game. Three losses to Sparty in, what was it, 22 days or something like that?
Yeah, I remember hearing that stat.
I mean, it was at least it was a decent game, but, man, I tell you, I just had that feeling like they're just going to fall off a little bit, and they did. Not as bad as the first two meetings, but, you know, just couldn't seal the deal.
Yeah, I was hoping third time would be the charm. It didn't turn out to be the case, and yeah, disappointing finish. I'm still not sure that was a foul when he was trying to get fouled coming up court with what, 3 seconds left.
Oh, Simpson?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, so, yeah, you know, it's, you know, they gave up a 13-point lead. You know, that's
yeah, it wouldn't have mattered. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just, yeah, Izzo had him ready, and I'm not sure Beeline didn't have him ready, and just, yeah, I watched. I got to watch the second half because we were talking before we were still on the air. My schedule and working overnights, and so I got up in time to watch the second half and watch part of the California race. And boy, I'm glad I watched most of the Michigan game versus the California race.
Yeah, it was a typical California race as far as I was concerned.
Yeah, but back to Michigan real quick. Wound up being number 8 in both the coaches in the AP poll, number 2 seed, which raised your eyebrows and raised a few eyebrows across the interweb last night.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I mean, when you look at the bracketology for across the first, you know, the 4-1 seeds and the 4-2 seeds, I mean, I don't understand how a Michigan team deserves a 2 seed, losing to the Spartans 3 times, losing the Big Ten tournament. It just doesn't make any sense to me. How they're able to justify that and how they were even able to justify some of the number 1 seeds, you know, what was it? 3 out of the 4 lost their tournament championship game. Like, you know, so either they, you know, part of me wonders, all right, Big Ten tournament game ended at 5:30. Bracketology announcements were coming up at 6. They obviously weren't restructuring too much. You know, obviously they had it done in advance and did not put a lot of stock into this weekend's tournaments, is my opinion. Anyways.
Well, I think it's hard to put a lot of stock into the tournaments. Maybe you don't have Gonzaga on the one line still, but you have Auburn beating Tennessee. So Auburn really climbs in the polls and probably really helped their stock on the tournament. You have St. Mary's beating Gonzaga. You have Duke winning the tournament. Okay, they're the number 1 seed. You would have figured that's going to be the case anyway.
Yeah.
But you have these conference tournaments where, now, could you have made the argument? And I probably would have, sitting at the table, not looking at the net standings and the KenPom and all that good stuff. Would you have put Michigan State over Gonzaga?
Well, I think the case could be made when you look at the number of, you know, what do they call it? Quad one wins.
Quad ones.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah. You know, I think they had the most
used to the new
Yeah.
You know, we're all getting used to the new terminology.
You know, but I mean, look at it this way. MSU won the Big Ten Conference and the tournament, and they get to play or potentially match up against Duke. I mean, that's a slap in the face if I'm a Spartan fan, you know. I mean, I'll take our bracket. I'm actually kind of, you know, when I looked at it, I'm like, all right, I like our chances now better of moving along in the tournament than I did before, even with the downplay Michigan's had the last couple weeks here. But now I like our bracket. I'll take it.
Yeah, I've definitely taken it. I've looked at the bracket stuff, and we can cover that if you want. We'll talk about our Final Fours. Yeah, I have Duke playing Michigan in the Final Four, and I've got Tennessee playing Kentucky. So not going chalk across the board. Have UNC losing to Kentucky in what I think will be a great matchup, and I have Virginia losing to K-State in Elite Eight. I just don't – after seeing them lose to UMBC last year, I don't see – yeah, this team – always underachieves.
Yeah. So you don't. Who do you have the Spartans losing to? Because why the hell not go four? Right. Like, let's play four times this year.
Rather than let's go back to the bracket real quick, because I have not done my bracket. I just kind of walked it through.
I gotcha. Yeah, I haven't filled mine out yet either.
I would probably just go there and listen to Duke and the Elite Eight.
Duke,
because I don't see them. Yeah, because you got Belmont or Temple playing Maryland. LSU, I think LSU could probably lose to Yale with all the turmoil in that program going on right now. So I see Sparty getting to the Elite Eight, but running up on Zion Williamson and his crew and just losing.
Fair enough. I hard to disagree with some of that. I will, like I said, I'll be filling mine out tomorrow. Got one floating around the work pool. I know that. So I just didn't have time to put too much stock into it today.
No, we've all got our timing on it. I'm usually very last minute on these things. Okay.
I got to take a peek at some Vegas lines, too, for the early rounds and see what where the maybe upset lies in on the early games there.
Young man, are you talking about gambling?
Ain't the first, ain't going to be the last.
No. Nope. Now, how do we interpret the money lines? I've gotten a lot better at that. I've gotten a lot better converting to percentages in my head.
Nice, nice. All right, let's talk a little race weather here, sir. Beautiful weekend in Fontana. What's Martinsville shaping up like?
Another beautiful weekend. We have a cold front forecast to move through on Thursday. That'll actually be pretty dry, but colder temperatures coming in behind it. But looking at the cold, say the colder temperatures, but then they're pretty close to normal. Friday, sunny skies, windy in the afternoon, winds approaching 20 miles an hour, high of 65, low of 34, a normal 63 over 36. So that is close to normal. But if you're going, bring a coat, then maybe just plan on leaving it in the car. For the race times. Saturday, the Truck Series race. We also have a cup qualifying after the Truck Series race. And if you want to participate in cup qualifying, that's great. If you just want to sit there, yeah, that's fine too. What?
Oh, that debacle.
Yeah. And more sunny skies, high of 65, low of 33. And STP 500, high of 69, low of 36. And this just beats the heck out of last year when we had 6 inches of snow and racing on Monday. And, yeah.
I'll take it.
A year later, it's sunny skies and approaching 70 on race day.
Fantastic. I love it. Excellent. All right, sir. Well, we will have to compare our brackets in next week once, you know, we'll see how our first two rounds did and we can compare our final numbers next week on the show. So stay tuned to that.
I do have an idea.
All right.
Let's talk about it off air, and then you can drop it in tomorrow.
Sounds good to me. All right, everyone. Make sure you're following Aaron on Twitter at RaceWeather and on the web at RaceWeather.net. Sir, we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Have a great week.
Thanks, man. We'll see you. All right, so Aaron and I recorded Monday just because of the double interview today for the show. So it is live. It is out. I've already tweeted it. The Lapped Traffic Race Weather NCAA Tournament Challenge. Go fill out your bracket. This is for fun and bragging rights alone, but I will talk about it during the fantasy segment of the show, who's leading and all that good stuff. So the link to the tournament is on the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. It's on the homepage. You'll definitely see it. Just click it. Join the group. There's no passcode. There's no nothing. Just go fill out a bracket and have some fun with Lap Traffic Race Weather. You know we love talking some Michigan sports, basketball, football, and all that good stuff. So go join the tournament. And, you know, we'll see who's able to dominate that. Maybe I can dominate that since I can't win my own racing fantasy league. So go check that out for sure. And all right, now business is done. And let's get to some lucky dogs. All right, guys, make sure you send your lucky dog and lap down picks after the checkered flag each and every weekend. And don't forget, you can call and leave your picks on the Wave Around hotline as well. Got a couple messages to get to later on, 248-965-9538. All right, I'm getting right into it. I'm getting down with my lucky dog. It has to be Kyle Busch. How can it not, right? My lap down pick are my fantasy picks. I cannot catch a break to save my life. All right, let's get over to your tweeted responses. Scott at 1985 Wagner's lucky dog. Austin Dillon, lap down TV audience listening to DW fan over Kyle Busch. Mike at Mike Tuck 12's lucky dog. Kyle Busch had to fight back from a speeding penalty, got the caution at the right time. A lap down goes to Truex. Seemed to have a very good car till Spinhouse got loose. David at D Flint 14's lucky dog. Austin Dillon. Dillon getting some love this weekend. Gritty effort with both Austin and the car. And he was sick, too. That's a crazy thing. I think I cursed him, though, because I said maybe he'll have the Brad Keselowski thing, and then he cut a tire. Lap down, this package. NASCAR's completely missed the boat. Give the power back. Takeaway downforce. Raise the height ride. Joe at Joe Nolf. Lucky dog goes to Kyle Busch, even though he's not that big of a fan. Lap down, the new aero package. For me having faith in Jimmy Johnson and choosing him in my fantasy pick. I feel you. There. Mike at Odell underscore Mike's lucky dog. Kyle Busch getting 200. Lap down in the Xfinity Series. John Hunter Nemechek racing hard with cars that were on the lead lap while he was one lap down and getting wrecked. Jury is still out. Jesse at Iowa NASCAR fans lucky dog. Kyle Busch, for obvious reasons, lap down the aero package. This was supposed to be the track where this package absolutely couldn't fail, and it was pretty blah for the most part. Don't disagree. Kathleen at KHI fans lucky dog. Cole Custer capitalizing on the 18's pit mishap. Great word, capitalizing. I love it. Lap down, cup qualifying. Kathleen, normally a caller on the Wave Around hotline, but has been sick. Hope you feel better, Kathleen. Eddie at EG3 underscore Fast Eddie's lucky dog. Stewart Haas Racing Cars in the Xfinity Series. Cole capitalizing on and Chase putting some solid runs together. Lap down, the qualifying mess. It's just the perfect way to put it, a mess. All right, thanks for tweeting your picks. Let's get to the calls on the Wave Around hotline.
Hey, Brandon, this is John. Let's see, Twitter handle, Dinator. Oh, the race just ended here in Fontana. Gosh, this was pretty neat. I saw both races. I thought Kyle was going to get it yesterday. Nope. Then he got it today. It's beautiful, windy. It's a good time for racing, good time to see history. That's probably just going to have to be my lucky dog. I mean... Yeah, I'd like to do the unpopular stuff, but, you know, I'll just do it right now. Lucky dog, Kyle Busch, 200 victories across all three national series. Great job to him. Lap down, about two-thirds of the way through the race, there's a person who must have gotten heat stroke because then all the medical people came and took her away. I just feel bad for her because she didn't get to see Kyle Busch winning at all and doing his burnouts. Well, I think that's it for me. Go ahead and go on to the next one. Talk to you later, Brandon. Bye.
Oh, John, hope you had a great time at the race. That's awesome. Calling on the way out. I love that. That's fantastic. And you said it. History, man. That's what it is. And you got to appreciate it for what it is. All right. Let's get to call number two.
Hey, it's Jeff Legg, Gray Wolf Pack Twitter and Instagram. Was a pretty good race. I really enjoyed that race at Fontana this week. Most aspects of it anyways. Lucky dog, obviously, Kyle Busch. I wish everybody would just quit this trying to compare him and the King. They're two different people, two different eras. There's apples and oranges. Stop it. They both had great accomplishments in their era. And, you know, like them or hate them, you cannot deny that Kyle Busch is a great driver and has done great things in this sport and has done great things for the sport. Everybody, you know, pissing and moaning about him driving in the lesser series. Look, he has given back way more to those series than he has gained from them by putting money in out of his own pocket for his teams and the ticket draws that he's had by, you know, participating. And you can't deny the level of competition that's coming out of those series is way greater than it used to be because of what we used to call the bushwhackers. Now, you know, Xfinity whackers don't have the same ring, but you know what I'm talking about. The cup guys that go and drive in the lesser series, and primarily Kyle, because of them being out there, we're getting better quality, so much quality that we don't even have enough room to put all these people. So just leave them alone, celebrate 200 wins. Across three series, fantastic, unbelievable. And he's not even anywhere near being done. I have no doubt that he'll hit 300, if he gets the chance. And that's what happens. Lap down, NASCAR, I don't know if Dell feels the same way, but this qualifying, especially this last week, was a shit show. And there's nothing, you know, I mean, nobody makes it to the third round. Seriously, that was ridiculous, okay? I've always been the type that loved to watch qualifying. I watch cup qualifying, see who's the fastest, and then look and see how that compares to what they do on race day. I just always found it interesting. I've even gone to qualifying. I've been a qualifying at MIS. I've been a qualifying at Daytona. Went there just to watch that. I really like qualifying. You know what? I'm done. I'm not saying we're qualifying if they're doing this group call. I'll just wait, watch the race. Very disappointed with that. And hopefully they come up with some kind of a change because it's not working. Well, that's it. I've ranted enough. I'll see you guys later. Bye.
Hey, Jeff, man, thanks for calling. As always, appreciate it. You know, you said it early on, you know, two different people, two different accomplishments, and you got to kind of just take it for what that is. That's a great way to put that. I love it. All right, let's get to call number three.
What's up, Brandon and listeners? Back with another call on the Wave Around Hotline. Auto Club, the race sucked. Not afraid to say that. Sincere congrats to Kyle Busch on 200 NASCAR National Touring Series wins. Make of it what you want, but no matter what, that's a pretty damn impressive number. Something I don't think we expected anyone to do. And he's only, I think, 33, so I'm curious to see if he can get to 100 cup wins. It's not going to be easy, but it's not out of the question. I don't know where he's at on the all-time win list, but he's probably going to catch and pass a couple more guys this year. I think Rusty Wallace might be the next guy for him to catch. I could be wrong on that. You might want to fact-check me on that. So Kyle is the absolute lucky dog for sure. The lap down has to be Ricky Stenhouse Jr. because every week someone is pissed off at that idiot. No matter what he's done this year, he's pissed somebody off. He pissed me off as he took Truex out and ruined my week in fantasy, so nice asshole on that one. Hopefully you don't fuck anything up this week at Martinsville, where I expect him to probably run four laps down and probably crash. I expect him to crash in practice. That's probably the first time Stenhouse is going to crash this week. So hopefully he's not a jerk off this week, but you never know. He'll probably, you know, wreck somebody. As lap traffic, no pun intended. So we'll see what Spinhouse does this week. Take care, bud.
Ah, Mr. Andrew Cantrian showing a lot of love to the 17 there. But, hey, Kyle Busch definitely taking the championship this week as far as lucky dogs go, and has given himself quite a lead in the overall tally for lucky dogs. Like I said, I'm keeping track of that this year. That'll have be some fun at the end of the year there, going over those numbers. Kyle Busch definitely in the lead right now with lucky dogs in 2019. Thanks to everyone that participates in the lucky dog segment with your tweets and calls. I absolutely love it. All right. Let's get this thing rolling. It's going a little long. I apologize about that. One more to do. It's time for some fantasy. All right. Just a reminder, get your picks in by 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Friday. Keep the Twitter interaction up. It is so much fun watching you guys talk about the lap traffic fantasy. Nine more races to go in segment one. I think there's still time to rebound. I don't know about for myself, but if you're mid-pack, you still might be able to crack the top 10 there. Five players picked Cole Custer and eight players picked Kyle Busch. So nice job there. It took MOATF all of about 30 seconds of me posting the results before they started jawing on social media that they were part of the group with the highest score, that you need, that they're just so far in outer space that you need a telescope to see how far ahead of everyone they are. Yet they're still in fifth place. But anyways, that said, you know, they can't get to first. So as long as everybody keeps them out of first, that will be fantastic. Because let's put it this way. Can you imagine that phone call if they call in to give their picks because they're in first place? That's got to be the goal for everyone. Maybe if they're in last place, they can call in and give their picks, you know, because then that'll be the what not to take. Because that's my picks right now. It's the what not to take. Whoever I pick, you do not want to take. That's for damn sure. All right. So that said, the high score of the week, 111 points, was the MOATF podcast, along with Eric McCullum and Jesse Rose with their picks of Busch and Reddick. Second place this week was 101 points with picks of Busch and Bell from Chad Robb, John Entwistle, Paul Hallenbach, and Ted Anderson. My picks of Allgaier and Larson got me a whopping 68 points, but let's go over to the top 10 in standings. In first place for the third week in a row, Robert Keplinger with 575. In second place with 553 is John Entwistle. In third with 543 is Chad Robb. In fourth with 540 is Brad Carnes. And fifth is the MOATF podcast with 529. Two-way tie for sixth with 526, David Mullins and Jesse Rose. In seventh with 517 is Matt Fossum. In eighth with 514 is David James. In ninth with 510 is Pete Kervin. And wrapping out the top 10 with 508 is Rob Nebinger. All right. Let's get our weekly guest picker now. 5 weeks in, and for the third week in a row, Robert Keplinger is still atop the leaderboard and once again is able to call and on the line your current leader of the lap traffic standings. Rob, how's it going, man?
Hey, Brandon. Not too bad. How are you?
Not bad at all. Did you have a good St. Patrick's Day? And did you get some basketball in and all that good stuff?
I'm not a basketball fan, so
fair enough.
Let's not do that.
Fair enough.
Some good food and had some time with friends, so that was nice.
Excellent. Your life will not be stressful then from now until, what is it, April 8th.
No,
you will be just fine. well, again, welcome back. Becoming a bit of a regular here on the show. What'd you think of the race, man?
I was kind of let down. I think Jeff Gluck got the best of me, so I was hoping for something amazing, and it was pretty lackluster.
Fair enough. That has definitely been a common take from what I've witnessed and have seen. But you did pretty well this week with Busch and Bell, enough to get the job done yet again. Stretch out that lead a few extra points, 22-point lead. Congratulations there. Sir, are you ready to make some picks for the paperclip?
Yeah, I am.
Let's do it. All right, Rob, we are done out west, and we are headed to our first official short track race of the season. We're going to the Paperclip. We're headed to Martinsville. Last five trips to the Clip have seen five different winners. Last year, Spring Race saw Clint Boyer pick up his first grandfather clock. Joey Logano picked up his first clock at the Fall Race. Martin Truex Jr. picked up a pair of top fives last year, and he is still hunting for his first clock. You know, Chevy dominated Martinsville, winning eight in a row from 2011 to 2014. Lately, Fords have been very strong, winning three of the last four. But Toyota is no stranger to victory lane in Martinsville. Some guy named Kyle Busch has a couple clocks in his massive trophy room. The big question, who takes home the Sirius hardware this weekend? We'll find out on Sunday. But first, it is time for our picks. Trucks are finally back on the track. Rob, who is your truck pick?
I'm going to go with Johnny Sauter.
That is a solid pick there, sir. I contemplated him myself, but I need to make some noise, and I need to go for broke here. So I am going with Ben Rhodes. He's a little aggressive, and I think it might be boom or bust for Ben Rhodes this weekend in the Truck Series. There is no Xfinity race this weekend, so let's jump over to the Cup race. Sir, who is your Cup pick?
Once again, I got to go Kyle Busch.
Kyle Busch going for 201. I love it. I am going with Mr. Chase Elliott to make a little noise. That might actually make people mad based on how my picks have been doing. But maybe I can break through. Chase Elliott gets a little redemption, maybe gets his first grandfather clock. Those are our picks. Can't wait to see who you guys take. Rob, thanks so much for calling in. And, hey, let's make it 3 weeks in a row next week.
Sounds great.
Have a good one, man. We'll talk to you.
Thanks.
See you, Brandon. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 117 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Subscribe, download, iTunes, Podbean, tell your friends. Don't forget, go join the Race Weather Lap Traffic NCAA bracket. It's on the homepage. Click, go join. Big thanks to Austin Hill from Hattori Racing, Brooks Taylor from Martinsville, and Robert Keplinger for calling in. Don't forget, big bonus show Thursday, and I'm leaving it at that. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. I'm out of here. See ya!